Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden and D. Quillen, your hosts for the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hey, this is John from the Inexplicable Dumb Show, and this is How to Promote Your Theater Company with a Podcast, Podcasting 101.
And this is the podcast version of that podcasting workshop on podcasting that we did.
With a podcast. So how amazing is that?
I know. It's so cool.
Podcasting a podcasting workshop? That's insane.
I know.
So we did some recording of the actual workshop in and of itself. We listened to the audio and thought, well, we couldn't hear y'all's questions and we didn't do a good enough job of repeating the questions themselves. So we thought we'd start with scratch and just give you a clean copy of us talking about the podcast and trying to remember some of the issues that were brought up, and hopefully we can address them again. If for some reason you get this and we did not answer a question, you can always send us a question at podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com.
Or you can also send us a voicemail. That's 615-866-1282. Or you can Skype us. So just a little bit about us. We've been doing this whole podcasting thing for, what, about 2.5 years now?
Two and a half years, yeah.
And started it pretty much on a whim. Decided that podcasting sounded like a cool thing to do. And we wanted to blend that in with our love of theater. And thus, the Inexplicable Dumb Show was born. More on that in a minute. John loves to go off on that.
Yeah, I'll do that in a second.
Sure. And then just as a reminder too, those of you guys who are listening to this podcast, there is a PDF file version of the same thing that you can kind of follow along with what we're doing. As you listen to this, you can watch it on the PDF file. So we're going to cover what a podcast is and a couple of definitions. We're going to cover what I need to do my own podcast.
We're going
to
cover how you can listen to a podcast.
Right. And we also are going to cover how to create a podcast.
And talk about how I can make my podcast better.
Well, our podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just reading off the,
Oh, wow. Look at you reading and stuff.
Yeah, so, it's overrated.
I know. So anyway, inexplicabledumbshow.com is the website, just in case you happen to just stumble upon this audio somehow. And again, it was just our love of theater and wanting to focus on theater in the Southeast, since that's who we are and where we're from. And we've been doing this together now for 132 episodes.
That's right. There's one lost episode.
Which, we'll talk about again in a minute. We do interviews with theater professionals from all over the Southeast and really all over the world.
Pretty much, yeah.
Which, you know, surprised us when we found out that that was the case. But anyway, so that'll give you kind of an idea of who we are. What is a podcast?
Well, a podcast is a series of audio or video digital media files which are distributed over the internet via syndicated download through web feeds to portable media players and personal computers.
Wow. You really should write that definition down.
I know. I think I should put it in a PowerPoint or something.
So basically what that means is, I mean, it's not the same thing as audio. I mean, you can find audio and video,
right?
YouTube and all that kind of stuff.
This is delivered audio,
right,
file.
Technically, those are not considered podcasts, because the way that a podcast, or what makes a podcast separate, is that rather than you having to go seek out the content is automatically delivered to you. And if you already subscribe to blogs, you know, the New York Times or something like that, you already are familiar with how that works. You don't have to go to the content. It just comes to you. It just means that there's audio or video files attached to it.
Right.
And that's what makes it a podcast. And all of that works through something called RSS, which stands for Really Simple Syndication. There's a little orange logo, which has sort of become the universal symbol for the RSS feed. And if you see that, it means that there's something there that you can subscribe to. And it's a web format, basically, used to publish frequently updated works like blogs and news headlines, audio and video.
Hey,
There you go. And the good thing is that it's a standardized format. So if you see the RSS feed, any RSS reader will be able to pick up on that and bring the content to you. iTunes is a way to do that. iTunes is a way to get that stuff delivered to you.
Okay.
Right? And it's Apple's proprietary thing,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you've got an iPod, you know what iTunes is because, you know, it's
can't have one without the other,
right,
really.
Right. It is not the only podcatcher.
Right.
And that term podcatcher literally means anything that you, any piece of software that you would use to subscribe to a podcast. You know, kind of like you would a blog. I guess, right. So the good thing about iTunes is, and this is kind of where the term podcast came from, is that when you subscribe to a podcast through iTunes, you can set up your iPod so that it will automatically dump all of that content from iTunes onto your iPod. So you literally carry those podcasts with you once you sync up your iPod. So, bloggers started it all, right? The first RSS feeds were text only. The word weblog became shortened to blog.
Mm-hmm.
And that was basically just text only. And then they started adding pictures to it, because they, you know, people wanted to have the content look as much like the website as possible. And then they started doing audio and video attachments.
Now, the thing is, we still, you know, you want to use a blog site or something. You want to have a website because, you want to use text still. You want to send, like create show notes and create links of, you know, the people you're talking to, their websites or their, you know, whatever they have to get out so that you can create, because, right, iTunes doesn't carry that information through.
Correct.
You just get the audio. So you still want to have your show notes or whatever, and you want to, as a key point, to direct your own audience back to your websites for, you know, ticket sales or merch sales or whatever. You want to constantly say, hey, you can check out more like at inexplicabletimeshow.com.
Right. There's no such thing as repeating your own website name too much on your own podcast. And it seems redundant, but when you figure out why, you know, when you realize that you need to get people back to your own website. Not only that, but Google, it's important to note too that Google cannot search, and really none of the search engines can do this. They do not search within audio and video feeds or the files themselves. All they can search is the text. So the more text you put up on your website, even though it is an audio podcast, the more text you put up, the more likely it is that somebody's going to, when they Google something that happens to fall within those words or, you know, search something that's happened to be in that podcast, that's how they're going to find it.
Right.
Because if you just put the audio up, it'll never show up on Google for a Google search.
Right. And you want to do tags and that sort of thing too. So you want to tag or create a tag for the person that's interviewing you or the theater or the show or whatever.
Anything that you think people might Google.
Right. Because then when they search, then your website will be in with the results there. Right.
You want it to try to be as one of those top 15 or whatever, however number it is on
I mean, you know, Google. To be honest, what do we maybe Google and then skim two pages, three pages, even though we get like 150 hits or whatever.
Right.
So you want to be in the top end of that as much as you can for traffic reasons.
Sure. So how does this all work? Well, it's complicated. There, that's it. That's all I'm going to say about that.
All right.
No, I'm just kidding. There are free blogging sites that you can use, and they're automatically set up so that literally all you have to do is create yourself a username and a password, and you can all of a sudden create the content, right? And typically the way that works is that you have to add, all you have to do is add the audio file. And there's a list of these on the PDF file on the PowerPoint presentation, but WordPress.com. is one. That's sort of their public free WordPress hosted site.
Right.
But you can have your own, man, I'm getting ahead of myself, but you can have your own version of WordPress on your own site. But if you don't want to do that, you can use something like Blogger or Blogspot or TypePad. We talked about MySpace, and I think that they've limited how you can podcast on MySpace at this point. It used to be pretty open. I think they've limited it now because so many people were posting so many audio files. And again, those files have to live somewhere.
Right.
You know, on the web. So it's taking up space and using bandwidth and all that stuff. So it is possible to do this for free, on a site, or, you know, like a free blogging site. However, if you've already got your own internet connection, or you've got your own internet connection, of course you have to have that. But if you've got your own website already, so you're, you know, www.mytheatercompany.com, it is possible to attach a WordPress installation on your own site.
Right.
And podcast from your own site. but you do have some requirements for that software. Now, the good thing about WordPress is that it's free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You go to WordPress.org and it's a free download. And, you know, of course, they've always got the most current version that you can download. And the newest versions of WordPress, this is something else, this is, they are now, you're able to just click on the little thing and it'll automatically update.
Oh, that's nice.
So you don't have to go through the whole, it used download, to be a really involved process.
Unzip, reload.
Right. Yeah. All this stuff. So, but the installation requirements, and again, we're not technical people, you know, I mean, we know how to do this because we've, you know, because we've been doing it.
Trial and error.
Right. And to a certain extent, we know that you have to have these requirements because, you know, WordPress won't run without it, but you have to have PHP 4.3 or higher. And this is according to WordPress.org. And you have to have MySQL 4.0 or higher. Now that is something that you would need to ask your web hosting company.
Mm-hmm.
If they provide for you. And if they don't, then you can find out whether they do or not. And if they don't and are unable to, you might want to look into a different
switching web hosting.
Switching your web hosting. The web hosting that we use is DreamHost. And if you're looking at the PDF file, there's a link to DreamHost there where you can sign up for it if you'd like to. That's just the one that we use. It's not the only one.
Right.
But we certainly have been happy with the service that we've gotten from them. The cool thing about DreamHost too is that they have what are called one-click installs. So you create your URL, your website address, and you tell it, okay, I want WordPress on this address at this site, and you click go, and it installs everything. And then all you have to do is create your username and password, and it's done. You know, so they make it really, really simple to do that. So why would you podcast, John? Why is this important?
Well, I think this is important because you need to have try to have some interactive content. You want to, of course, your number one goal as a theater company is to maintain interest and develop new interest of audience members mm-hmm. in your company. So, I mean, things you could put on there. We didn't even really talk about it in the workshop, but polls, you can talk about polls yeah. and, you know, did you like this play or did you like these types of plays mm-hmm. or do you, any kind of question you could ask, mm-hmm. do you like, you know, how much is too much to pay for a theater ticket or, you know, whatever.
Sure.
You can blog comments, a lot of the websites, you can have an open, if you want to, you can have an open forum.
Right. Or you can have a moderate.
Have an open forum.
Right. Or you can have a moderated forum.
Right.
You know.
You can do that. Any emails you get from, your audience, you can, when we get emails here on the, we give them a dramatic reading.
Mm-hmm.
we use listener voicemail, so we can play those live,
which we'll talk about again in a minute.
But the main thing is you want to involve your audience, promote your shows and your company,
right? And I mean, you if you've got season subscription ticket holders already,
mm-hmm.
that's like a built-in audience for your podcast. And that's one way to think about it. But you start using your podcast to drive more interest in your theater. But right. you also want to create some content that will make it like value added content for those people who are already subscribers.
Right.
And some of the ways that you can do that, just some ideas. And really, it's unlimited here, the things that mm-hmm. you can do, whatever your imagination comes up with. Some of the things that we mentioned and talked about is creating or treating your podcast almost like a, like the DVD special features on a DVD, right?
Creating, sure.
doing interviews with your actors and your directors, or if there's I think one of the things you mentioned was, if you're working with a new playwright.
Right.
You know, bring them in, do the interviews, talk about that process and all those
talk
kinds
about
of
the play, give it, especially sure. if it's a new play, you might want to bring them in to talk about, you know, a little bit of the story, a little bit of the history of mm-hmm. how it came about, what's the production history. Mm-hmm. And that sort of thing. Again, trying to give some information that might spark an interest in an audience member. Say a season member that, you know.
Wasn't really sure.
Well, yeah. I don't know if you have a package deal and you get three shows in a season mm-hmm. and they may want to, you know, come to this fourth show, mm-hmm. even though they bought the three show package.
Sure.
Three show package.
Sure. Well, and the one way to think about that too is creating the content ahead of time so that it drives and creates an interest in the ticket sales,
mm-hmm.
right?
Because that's the bottom line.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Truly. But yeah, putting butts in seats. I mean, that's what it boils down to. One of the things that you might also want to do is to record a director's commentary, right? So have a director sit with a recorder while, one of the final rehearsals is going on or something like that. And, just record some record some comments and stuff like that throughout the show, and, or maybe an assistant director, you know, producer, whatever. And then what people can do is bring their iPods in to the theater with just like, an earbud, and this might be a way to get repeat ticket sales. Have somebody come see the show and then say, well, if you liked it, listen to the commentary and come back and watch the show again.
Right.
You know, those kinds of things. One of the audience members.
You'd have an iPod night.
Right. Have an iPod.
Bring an iPod and you get,
One of our participants in the workshop today mentioned that, the video screens on the iPods might be a problem, but that's easily solved. I mean, just having, people, as soon as they start it, put in their pockets, or keep it hidden, those kinds of things. I mean, that's easy to get around. And again, if that's not your thing, then, you don't have to do that, but it's a great way to promote. You could do ticket giveaways,
right?
For podcast listeners, those kinds of things. Whatever your imagination comes up with, you can do, but it's all about creating and maintaining audience interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's one of the reasons why we think it's important to, as a promotional tool for theater companies. If you're looking for podcasts, one thing you don't want to do is Google podcast.
Right. You're going to be inundated. Like
billions,
right?
of links, none of which are specific. So if you've got, iTunes, already, if you've already got an iPod, it's really easy to find them. All you need to do is go into the iTunes music store and there is a podcast category.
Right.
But, and there's thousands of them in there, covering every topic that you can imagine. And some that you can't,
or wouldn't want to.
Right. Yeah. It's not just iTunes though. There's other podcast listing sites and there's two of them listed on the PDF file. They're not the only two by any stretch of the imagination. Right. And it was really it would have been impossible to list all of them. And I just grabbed the first two that popped into my head and those are Blueberry and Podcast Alley. Most podcasters try to get themselves linked with as many of those podcast listing sites as possible because, you never know who's going to be listening to, or go into which listing site and all that stuff. So you want to try to list them in as many of those as you can.
Now, how do I, that's great getting it into these listing sites, but what if I just want to put it on my website and
It's entirely possible. Now, if you just put it on your website, technically, it's not a podcast.
Right.
Right.
But if I want to stream it or something.
Sure. You can. The idea is to make it as accessible to as many people as possible. Some people prefer to download it into iTunes, put it on their iPod and carry it with them. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Have it portable. Some people will download it to iTunes and just listen to it on their computer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. As that, using that as their podcatcher. There are still some people who prefer to go directly to the website. And listen to the show there. And one of the things that you can do or at least should make available is streaming audio. Or if you're a video podcast, streaming video. Just understand that WordPress in and of itself doesn't provide that capability for streaming audio and video. There are tons and tons of plugins that you can use. That's one of the great things about WordPress is that if you want it to have a certain functionality, usually somebody else has wanted that too, and they've, know enough about programming and written a plugin for it, and usually they're relatively easy to use because it uses that same, that same WordPress format and that same menu system. The one that we use on the Inexplicable Dumb Show is called PodPress, and there will be a link for it on the PDF file as well, in terms of where you need, where you can go to download that. It's easy to install. And it gives you that functionality of streaming audio or streaming or both streaming audio or video. But that allows your audience another way to listen to your show.
Right.
Right. So those people who don't necessarily want to do the podcasting thing and just want to go to the website and listen to the shows themselves, or the people who have Googled it.
Right.
Right. And it's the first time they're ever listening to the show. That gives them the possibility, and hopefully you'll hook them.
Right. Well, the other thing about, the streaming audio is the fact that they're one click away from buying a ticket.
Right. Yeah. And that's a great thing.
You know?
Yeah. So that's a great thing.
I know, you know, it may not be the technical podcast.
Right. But, sure.
I think that's a strong point for theater companies to start thinking of is how they can, plus it adds something to your site.
Sure.
Makes the interest, you know, some interest anyway.
Sure.
Besides some static pictures and dates and that sort of thing.
Right. And it doesn't have to be your main website. You can have it as a link, you know, from your main site that, you know, hey, listen to our podcast, and then it opens up a completely new page and so on and so forth. So there's all kinds of stuff that you can do with it. And if you've got somebody who, you know, does web design for you, they should be able to incorporate that type of stuff really, really easily. But let's talk about the actual production of the audio, which is important. It sounds like it's complicated because all of a sudden you start thinking recording studios and microphones and mixing boards and knobs and switches and recording devices and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't have to be that. If you've got a laptop computer or a desktop computer for the most part, and it's a relatively new one, chances are it comes with a microphone built into it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you need the computer.
Right.
You need the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
You need some kind of recording software. And that sounds expensive too and difficult to use, but it's really not. There's a program called Audacity, which is a free open source software that you can use for recording audio. And it actually provides you with a lot more functionality than that. But, just for the sake of this, in terms of how you can make a really, really simple podcast, it allows you the ability to just record straight in and save it as the right kind of file, which it has to be an MP3 file, right? In order for it to be a podcast.
Right. That's important. You might want to stress that again.
Yeah, it must be an MP3 file. Formatting, that's become the standard, or it's been the standard for a long time. But in terms of there are certain audio format files that won't play, but MP3s will play typically in pretty much every single player, mm-hmm. you know, portable player, which means they're also playable on all the computers as well. So it's a good universal format. You need an internet connection, obviously, because you got to be able to upload the files somewhere because they got to live on the internet somewhere, right?
Right.
And then you need an RSS capable website, which is what we've already talked about, you know, going back to the first part of the podcast or this particular podcast. Again, some kind of blogging site, internet connection, microphones, recording software, and a computer. That's all you need. And once you have all those things, you just press the record button and start talking.
Right.
Right.
And I guess we can throw in here, in the workshop, we put this a little bit later, but, we can jump in and say, you know, you can just go to pretty much any decent sized music store.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of things called, you know, they podcast in a box where they give you 2 to 4 condenser mics, a basic mixer, and, mm-hmm. you know, and they're usually formatted with a USB,
mm-hmm.
So that you can go right into your computer and you mm-hmm. don't have to fangle around with, you know, running cables all over the place, kind of mm-hmm. like we do.
right.
But I mean, so don't let the technology, I guess, get in the way of
the creativity
yeah. and the usefulness of a podcast.
Sure. Yeah. It doesn't have to be as daunting as it sounds. It really doesn't. Really doesn't. Okay. This is your big thing, John. This is the branding of the.
I think it's something that you got to really be conscious of is that you are starting to create a marketable item and you want to create a uniformed marketable item. You know, so that again, you don't want to rely solely on text. You know, that if you link up or you sign up with iTunes, and that is a way of people getting your podcast. Again, you want to keep saying, check out this website, right. go to, and whatever your website address is. And the other thing too is you want to think of kind of in a radio or a TV sort of format. Nothing really kind of kills things. In my opinion, you know, if it's just somebody, except for this podcast for right now, right, talking more than 20 minutes in a stretch, you know, right. but think of ways to incorporate segments and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
A point was raised, you know, the theater companies, you have people who buy ads in your program.
Mm-hmm.
Why not pitch the idea of maybe at a discounted rate, but I mean, mm-hmm. Whatever you can get out of it. But what if you, you know, sold ads to, you know, Fred's Tires and, you know, Jimmy's Chicken Shack or whatever.
Sure. And most mm-hmm. of those companies, most of those small businesses like that will have already produced audio for their own, you know, commercials.
Well, then, if not, I mean, yes, but if not, have Jimmy come down and say,
sit in front of a microphone.
Hey, I'd like for you to, after the show, come on by and get, you know, some wings or whatever.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Or get your brakes fixed. Or both.
Or both. It's Jimmy's, it's Jimmy Chicken Shack and brake.
And brake repair.
mufflers on every third
one
Sunday.
One of the podcast, the workshop, participants today brought up a question about some, she was looking at some podcasts on iTunes, and they have sort of quasi interactive content. In other words, there are different video or different still images that will pop up for different segments of the podcast. And I wanted to point out that it, because that does fit into the branding thing. That is a Macintosh specific format. So if you're doing all of this on a PC, you're not really going to have that capability. But if you're running it on a Mac and you're using the most current version of GarageBand, it provides you with that capability. Now, that means that the people who are sitting in front of their computer can do that. You can't click on that and go to a website from your iPod, at least not yet. Yeah. You know, that's coming, I'm sure. And people with iPhones may be able to do it. Who knows? I haven't played around with the iPhones enough to know. But so there's all kinds of stuff that you can do there in terms of, you know, branding. We talked about, you know, we didn't focus on it too much, but, you know, creating yourself a graphic for your you know, a logo kind of thing for your website. And
Chances are you already have a logo for your theater company.
Yeah, so you can either use that or edit it slightly or whatever, you know.
But the idea, again, trying to make a, you know, you want to make the podcast and your company like the new the new Nike. It's kind of what I said, that it's something that's instantly recognizable. Oh yeah, I've seen that. I've heard that. I've seen their shows. You know. They do good work, or, you know. That's the goal anyway, I would think.
Yeah. Now in the, in the workshop today, we actually played some of these audio files, and what we're going to do is we'll include them, in this thing, so that you can kind of hear a little bit, and we'll do a lot better job of fading them in and out in post-production this time. But, you know, you want to name your show. I mean, you can call it the, you know, if your website is, you know, or My Theater Company, if that's the name of your theater company, you can call it the My Theater Company podcast. Or you can try to, you know, name it something slightly different, or it's a twist on the name, or something along those lines.
You know, again, ours is The Inexplicable Dumb Show, which comes from Hamlet's advice to the players. And which, kind of going back into the history of it, it really started with another website that on hiatus.
Right.
We started with Mirror Up to Nature. T started kind of as a personal sort of journal thing, and then asked several of us to come on and be writers and do articles and that sort of thing, and that led to one thing led to another, and
here we are.
Again, kind of tying back into a lot of the, you've got to think kind of radio programming in your head, so that you do. I mean, we work a lot on music beds and finding the music, either the bump up a cue in between segments, so that it's kind of an aural break for the brain a little bit. Now we use Audition,
Adobe product,
as our musical editing, and some of the tracks you'll hear on here. There were loops, and I've kind of, I don't know what, looped them together, or orchestrated them, or I don't know.
Well, the important thing to notice is that with loops, it's sort of, they're exactly what they sound like. It's little snippets of music. You know, four or five seconds or something like that. In some cases less.
It's like a second and a half usually.
And what you do is you just tell the recording software to loop it. I mean, to constantly repeat it, and you do it in, you know, the number of beats that you need and all that stuff. The important thing to note here is that you never picked up a musical instrument in order to create these.
Right.
And these are just three examples of some of the, I don't know, probably what, 30?
Yeah, easily. Yeah,
for the show, and we use them for you know, music beds to help kind of ease ourselves out of segments, or in some cases we'll use them as
to underscore a segment.
Sure.
Even.
Yeah.
A short ad or a short mention. Again, you know, if you,
it's
like
great
what
for
you
commercials. Yeah.
Yeah. If you like what you see here, go to inexplicabledumbshow.com or
and if you
subscribe
listen,
at inexplicabledumbshow.com.
Sure. And if you listen to one of our regular episodes, that's not this kind of stuff. But if you listen to one of our our regular episodes, you'll hear how we use those transitions and the, and those music beds and some other stuff like that. And one of the questions that was brought up at this point was, you know, well, do you have to pay for the royalties to this music? And the answer is yes, but we're going to come back to that in just a second. As it is now, let's go ahead and play. I mean, we're going to play three of these little segments for them, and we'll just let them hear some of the stuff that you've done.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks. Yeah.
Oh, the miracles of post-production. So yeah, again, you created all of those without picking up a musical instrument and in Adobe Audition with loops.
Right. And I got to say, there were hundreds of files. And mm-hmm. once I figured out kind of whoever organized the disc, you know, that they put out, so, had some interesting, you know, like they would have Rock and Funk 1, but then that Rock and Funk 2 would be on a different disc,
right?
You know, so it was kind of, once I figured all the kind of the lay of the land there, then it was you know, and I'm not saying I'm not totally not musical, but
sure,
you know, once it I kind of got that figured out, and I, you know, figured out keys and mm-hmm. made sure that they were all in the same key, which would be nice, you know, but then it was fun because it sort of became a challenge, you know, and I could for a 45 second sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
it took you how long to do these?
Maybe what 10-15 minutes.
Okay.
When I was in the flow and
sure.
you know, that's
once you got
in
it.
But it was kind of funny. Yeah, I said in the workshop that I would just kind of stick my head out of the office and say, "Hey, give me a musical style," and somebody'd yell out, you know, samba or something, and then I go, "Okay." So then I made it a challenge to create a samba bed or a rumba bed or, you know, a hip hop bed or whatever.
Nice.
So,
yeah, cool. So, I mean, those ones that you've created for us now, those loops themselves are royalty free. That's one of the mm-hmm. things that's about those is that Adobe actually provided those with the software.
Right.
And those are royalty free. Just because something is considered a loop does not necessarily make it royalty free.
No.
And that's actually something that we need to talk about. You have to be very, very, very careful with copyright laws and the legal stuff here. And one of our participants today thanked us for bringing this up and making such a big deal about it. And it is a big deal.
It is.
Because you can get yourself into some serious trouble. And just because something is royalty free doesn't mean that it's free.
Right.
Right. You have to pay for the unlimited usage of it.
Right.
Right. We brought up Magnatune. Which is one of the royalty-free music sites that we use. And one of the things that drew us to them in the first place was that anybody can go on and download and buy, you know,
right.
the artist's music.
Mm-hmm.
And the artist gets a much bigger cut of it than if they were with, you know, a traditional, quote-unquote, you know, music publishing company.
Right.
But with Magnatune, they offered a special, it's a freebie basically,
right,
for if you were a podcaster and there, you know, you had to send them an email and request it, and they had, you know, they would check out your podcast and make sure that it was legit and all this other stuff. And then what if they, if the, you were approved and we were, then what they would do is they would send you a way to download the files for free. As right. long as you gave them credit.
And they also sent over a tag, a little 30-second ad about sure. who they are and what they do. So we put that in, not every, it doesn't have to be every episode, but we put it in with a pretty decent frequency.
Yeah, yeah. And then not only that, but the important thing to note with these recordings, especially things like Magnatune, and Magnatune's not the only one, but it's just the one that we use the most, most often. These are actually, recordings that musicians have gone in with their instruments and recorded.
Right. Right? Yeah. So I mean, this is like, a complete album. I mean, these are artists,
sure.
artists doing work. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and they've, you know, they've made rather than, well, Magnatune has become their publisher, essentially, mm-hmm. you know, their
record
distribution.
Label.
Yeah. yeah. Travel. No, their distribution channel is the word I was looking for. So anyway, what we did was we chose three, short segments of pieces of music that we use, in common transitions, that we've pulled from Magnatune. And every now and then we'll go back to Magnatune and just kind of surf through and see what they've got. And if we hear something that we think we might be able to use, we'll right. use it.
And just to, again, to plug Magnatune, for this, there's a wide variety of stuff in Magnatune.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I think if you could find like the, Armenian,
yeah.
boys choir sure. or something. I mean,
doing Gregorian chants. And
yeah,
then,
all the way through to, you know, some punk band or something.
We have found some halfway decent Christmas music for our Christmas episodes.
Yeah.
On there. And then, and all that, but it's all, there's also some really good, like, funk, blues, mm-hmm. jazzy type stuff. A lot of classical, you know, there's some electronica and new age type stuff. And of course, we're trying to be as eclectic as possible. So we try to throw in a wide variety of that stuff. And so, okay, well, let's just play the segments of these pieces that we've chosen here too. These are from Magnatune.
Please stand by. We are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. We are experiencing technical difficulties.
You kind of get the feel for
yeah.
that. These are. I mean, no offense, but these are real musicians recording, playing real instruments.
Right, right.
I mean, you're not. You do great work too, John.
Yeah. All right.
One of the other things that we talked about.
You gotta have a musical ear to use the loop. So that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no. I'm just saying you gotta have. You. It does take talent. It's not something I can do. You do that really well. but one of the other things that we mentioned was during one of the segments, or for sort of our theme song for the segment that we call Deep Fried Theater, which is where we focus on the mm-hmm. The different, you know, theater companies in the Southeast. We use a Bela Fleck tune, mm-hmm. And he's a banjo player. If you don't know. And he is not a member of Magnatune. He doesn't, I think he's with Sony Records now.
Right.
But what we did was, I sent him an email, or sent his website an email, and said, look, we're a podcast. Here's what we do. We're interested in using this specific song. You know, can we use this as our theme song for this particular segment? We got an email back from the Flecktones website, which basically said, yeah, you can use any of our stuff that you want. Just give us credit, you know, and link back to us. To the Flecktones website. And so once we got in that email, we did the same thing with the B-52s,
right.
with the song Love Shack for one of our episodes. And again, most musicians will tell you, absolutely, go right ahead.
But you got to ask first.
But you have to ask first. You must ask first. And that is crucial. That is crucial because there is some serious mess that will fall down on you if you try to use this music illegally. And that's exactly what you'll be doing. It will be illegally using the music.
Right. Because just to tie back in, of course, once you get an email back that says, yeah, sure, go ahead and use it, then save it and save it and save it and save it. And
print out like 12 copies and put it in the safe.
To protect yourself.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, because if somebody ever says anything, you know, then you've got that that says, yes, you were given permission to do so. So it's not, you're not just limited to that stuff, but you have to make sure that you're following through the right channels. And I mean, if you've got a budget for this, go ahead and contact ASCAP and BMI about a digital music release kind of thing. I mean, they may offer a license like that. So it's, you know, but again, make sure you're following the proper legal channels to do all of that. And just to reiterate, just because it's royalty free does not make it free.
Right.
Most of the time you have to pay for it ahead of time and then you have unlimited usage for it at that point. Okay. So moving on ahead, let's talk about making a podcast better. In full disclosure here, the first bullet point on this next slide here is episode planning. And full disclosure, we don't always do that. You know,
well, I mean,
we try.
But we also have recurring segments. We know that every week we're going to do a deep fried theater.
Right.
We know that we're every week going to have a WTF segment.
Right.
We know that we're always going to have a George Carlin segment and that sort of thing. You know, because we do plan ahead, sometimes best laid plan of mice and men don't always work out.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, life does happen and we have to jump around and, oh, we can't interview with this theater company this week because they're out of town.
Or somebody had a meeting come up or whatever.
Right. But if you can, and I mean, again, our podcasts run about 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's
average.
That's not the rule. I mean, you know, if you only want to have a podcast of 3 to 4 minutes, you could it was perfectly within your right to do that. You could go longer than 45 minutes if you'd want to. I mean, it's going to be up to, it's your show, your baby, your creativity, your marketing tool. So however you think you can best employ those, these technologies and this, devices, for lack of a better word, for marketing, then it's up to you, really.
Right. And the thing that I mentioned at this point in the workshop too was that with television and radio, they have to think about it in chunks of time. You know, I mean, a radio show is an hour long, but then they have to allow the time for commercial breaks, which have to fall at the top of the hour and the bottom of the hour, you know, and in between and all of that stuff. And it's really rigid in terms of its structure. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the freeing things, I think, one of the really liberating things about a podcast is that you don't have to worry about that. You know, you can have a segment go 25 minutes if you want to, you know, or 23 minutes and 14 seconds. And then at the end of that segment, you put a, you know, a little blurb to kind of transition. And then you go into the next segment, which might be 2 minutes.
Right.
Right. And your whole episode, we talked about the average being 45 minutes, but your whole episode, every episode will be, you know, one episode might be, you know, like you said, 35 minutes and 12 seconds. And then the next one might be 52 minutes and 59 seconds, you know, and so you're not limited by time and you don't have to worry about structuring yourself that way. That having been said, you want to keep your listeners in mind as you're recording, you know, cause I mean, unlike this episode going on forever and forever and forever, can get really old. Speaking of which, let's move on. I talked about audio editing. There's a whole lot you can do with your laptop or with a desktop computer. One of the things that I talked about that we do with the podcast is that we go through and, every week, because we don't have a studio of any kind. I mean, we have an office with, like, you know, air conditioners blowing down on the mics and all that stuff. And so one of the things that I do, and this is just my own preference, is that I go in and I do a filter of the audio, and I take a sampling of whatever the noise is, and I have the software go in and remove all of that noise so that it sounds a little bit more like its studio quality. It's not perfect. But to me, it sounds better. We also use compression, similar to what they use on the radio, to make it have that sort of radio feel to it, in terms of the quality of the audio. But there's no rule that says that you have to do that.
Right.
Right. I mean, if you want to slap a microphone down on something and hit record and just record, even if it's the microphone that's built into your laptop and you don't want to do anything other than just put it up on the website, go for it.
Right.
There's no rule that says that.
And again, for those at the workshop, we had, you know, a couple of condenser mics mm-hmm. and a mixing board and a digital recorder. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we started out with those, $15.
Radio Shack headset things.
Yeah. So, it's all about, that part is going to be your personal preference and how you want your show to be.
Sure.
Received.
And experience. We're sort of living examples of this. The more you do it, the better you get at it. I mean, you know, hopefully not quit, you know, hopefully that's the case. Or at least the more experience you have and the more practice you have. One of the other things that I talked about was our use of multi-track editing in that, I use a visual digital multi-track editor so that I can take little segments of, like we talked about these segments of the shows. Or the segment, you know, intro segments or outro segments or whatever else like that, that we have pre-recorded those so that all I have to do is stick that audio in and it sounds the exact same way every time, you know, and I can control when the audio fades in and when it fades out. And there's all kinds of stuff that you can do with that. And really the best way to do that is to just experiment with it.
Right.
You know, and the more you experiment with it, the more streamlined your process will become.
Right.
I mean, that's one thing that I've found over the last 2.5 years for my process is that I've found ways to make it a lot more streamlined, for myself, you know, make it easier to just kind of throw the audio in and do what I have to do to it. And that's it. But it's all done with computer software, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to have these huge multi-track recorders and, you know, huge mixing boards and tape and all that stuff. It's all done on hard drive. It's all done on the computer and it's so, it sounds so complicated, but it's not really.
Right.
You know, it really is not. And it's relatively easy to do. And Audacity, that free software that I talked about earlier, gives you that capability as well. Okay. So we talked about the setup that we had used at the workshop. One of the last slides that you'll see on the PDF file here is that, is a list of all of the equipment that we use, or most of the equipment that we use, with the podcast. I mean, I didn't put in all the cabling and all that stuff, but, and I certainly didn't include a schematic of how all this stuff is connected. I'm not really sure I know how all this stuff is connected, to be honest with you. We use three Marshall MXL990 condenser microphones, which actually look a lot more expensive than they really are. I mean, they're really reasonably priced, and they sound pretty good too, I think. I mean, they sound a lot better than what we started with, which was, you know, those little microphones that are built into the headsets. The mixing board that we use is a Behringer Eurorack UB802 mixer, which is actually, technically it's an 8-channel mixer, but there's 4 main channels and you're able to output stereo and mix and it's got an effects loop and all this kinds of stuff. And it allows you a lot of flexibility in terms of, rather than just plugging a microphone directly into the computer.
Right.
Right. The recorder that we use, we don't actually record directly to the hard drive. We record on a device called a Zoom, which is the brand name, Handy Recorder H4 digital recorder, and it records the audio rather than recording it to a cassette or a CD or any kind of tape or something like that, mini disc or whatever. It records onto SD cards, those SD media cards, which are the same thing that most digital cameras use nowadays, sort of become the standard for that. And then we take that audio and dump it into the computer to do our editing and stuff with it. And again, you don't have to do that. It's just that me personally, in terms of editing the podcast together and putting it together, I prefer to have the most control over the audio as I can in terms of the quality of the sound.
Right.
One of the things we have not talked about yet that we had talked about earlier on in this thing is how we actually do telephone interviews.
Right.
And we use a program called Skype. Skype is a fantastic program, great audio quality, considering for what you're actually doing with it. But it's complicated to talk about because you're able to call telephone lines. And in some cases you can have, a telephone call you, but you're not using the telephone in order to do that. You're using your internet connection, your standard high speed, you know, if you're using cable modem, you're using your cable modem connection, or if you're whatever high speed you're doing. And if you're just calling from computer to computer, it's free.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to be able to call out to a telephone from your computer to a telephone line, there's a certain fee that you have to pay. I think it's like $40 a year or something like
that. Something like that.
And then we have also set it up with so that they have given us a telephone number, which is we've had the same number for 2 years now. And what is that number, John?
615-866-1282.
Thank you very much. And people can call that number. As a matter of fact, if you wanted to right now, you could pick up and call that number and you could leave us a voicemail. The neat thing about it is that if we're on the computer, if you call us at the same time that we're actually on the computer or when we're recording, it'll pop up and we'll hear the little sounds and you know, it'll tell us that we've got a call coming in. We can answer it just like a telephone. But you don't have to do that. We've actually got it set up so that it records a voicemail for us. And of course there's, it's a lot more complicated the way that we have it set up because we use like, you know, we use the, soundboard of the computer to actually create this audio and move it into through the board and all that other kind of stuff. Again, doesn't have to be. There's software that will allow you to capture that audio, of that phone call right there on the computer. You want to say something about that? Oh, sorry.
No.
Okay. Another edit point. We use Adobe Audition 2, and I think they've come out with a new version since we've been using 2.
Probably,
I'm sure they have. But again, you know, budget was being what it is and all that stuff. We just have stuck with version 2. We use a WordPress 2.7. And let me clarify that, too. We started out using WordPress 1.5, I think. But they are constantly updating it and changing and improving it.
Right.
And also, more importantly,
Protecting you.
They're creating they're constantly patching security holes that people, you know, go in and find ways to, you know, hack into websites and all of that kind of stuff. And then we use a program called FileZilla, which is another free program, which is an FTP program. And I'm not going to get into the details of that because not for this podcast anyway, but it's the program that we use to get the files from the computer up to the website so that they can then be attached to the stuff. So that's what we use for the dumb show. Okay. Now this is the point where we thanked everybody for coming in and asking, you know, if they had any questions to contact us. And so this last slide on the PDF file is exactly how to do that. The website is inexplicabledumbshow.com. You can email us.
podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com.
And again, the voicemail line is 615-866-1282.
Or you can Skype us if you have Skype and we're dumbshow-podcast.
You can also make sure that you subscribe to the show via iTunes. They don't all sound like this, by the way. This is a special podcast episode for our SETC listeners who participated in the workshop. Or if you were unable to make the workshop today, you know, here's what we covered as well. We have a Facebook page. And then the most important thing that we want you to do.
Buy our swag.
We have a Cafe Press site, which allows us to make available to you our logo.
On t-shirts.
Yeah.
On hoodies. On
mouse pads.
Wall clocks. On stickers.
We have an IDS. Mugs. We have an IDS thong.
Yeah. Oh, on clocks. On mouse pads. Magnets.
Mm-hmm. Coffee mugs, you say coffee mugs?
Coffee right? mugs, yeah.
And baby clothes. We got a onesie.
Bibs, yeah.
Onesies and bibs. Because you know, we both have kids, and of course we want to dress our kids up in the IDS stuff. Wives love that. but anyway, that's it. That's what we covered in the workshop today. And again, apologize for the audio problems that we had and just the difficulties of setting up that quickly and it not sounding the way that we wanted it to. So we thought it was better to re-record this again and bring the content to you the correct way. However, we want to point out if we did not answer a question that you asked, you know, if those of you who are at the workshop, if you asked that question and we didn't cover it again, please email us that question or call it and leave it to us on the voicemail line. We will answer it. And again, if this is your first time hearing this and you didn't, you know, attend the workshop, that's perfectly fine. And you've got a question about it, send us that too. We'd love to talk to you about that and answer the questions for you. Thanks very much. Hey, we'll see you.
Bye.
Blueberry. This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No ease. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. perfect quality WAV files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. We are not evil.